made out like bandits. I mean, Biltmore down in Asheville, North Carolina, is a to some degree, it's a monument to profits from government war contracting.
No doubt.
I'll see if we get a backlash for North Carolina on that last line.
You might. You might. It's Jim at JimBovard.com, everyone.
I appreciate that.
Good. Yeah, finally got a good laugh out of there. Yeah. All right. So now I brought this up for a second. You dodged it, so I'm going to bring it back up again. Well, I don't know. Maybe you just forgot. What about, I asked you two questions at once. It's not your fault. What about Lenin and Trotsky and Kerensky and Woodrow Wilson? Is there any truth to the rumor, do you think, that to Jim Powell's interpretation, that without Wilson, Kerensky would have gotten out of the war, and if he had, then the troops would have been there to protect his government from Lenin's coup?
It certainly sounds plausible. I mean, there were so many disruptions which were thrown into the wrenches that, it was something which you'd said earlier was a real, almost a fluke that Hitler rose to power in Germany. I think it may have been a bigger fluke that Lenin took power in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that President Wilson's reaction to Lenin, President Wilson intensely disliked Lenin because he felt the Bolsheviks had stolen his ideas for world peace, as Thomas Fleming wrote.
Nice.
So it's just like, okay, well, I wonder what other ideas Lenin stole from Wilson.
I know, that's funny. Well, Wilson's, dare I say, handler, his alter ego and independent self, Colonel Edward Mandel House, had later complained that Mussolini stole all his ideas, that he clearly wrote in Philip Drew before Mussolini ever had the chance. In fact, you know how I know that? From the late, great Will Grigg, who wrote the foreword to the latest edition of Philip Drew Administrator, where he quotes House complaining, "Well, I anticipated Mussolini by several years."
Well, that's a riot. That's great.
Both of these guys, couple of freaks.
Well,
and this is the fun of Philip Drew to me, is that it's a blueprint for a fascist American dictatorship, but it's written by the Democrats, Jim. It's not written by the conservatives. It's written by the progressive reformers who want to make a right-wing fascist state for the greater good of the little guy. I'm a little confused. What do you think?
Well, it's just, I mean, folks are not aware of how brutally the Wilson administration crushed freedom during the war. There was a pamphlet called Long Live the Constitution, and just possessing that could get you 6 months in prison. There was a censorship campaign. There was a Federal Committee on Public Information, which simply hearing the name of that, you're going to figure, oh, this is some big propaganda, which it was.
Right.
It was run by a bunch of journalists who were previously gung-ho for truth and honesty in the American way. But, hey, there's a war on, so, you know, we got to win.
Yeah. Well, now, you mentioned lies, too, about how, and I think you even kind of mentioned it in context of anything based on lies, as badly as this war was, must turn out for the worse anyway, ultimately. And so I want to ask you about the Zimmerman telegram and this threat of the Germans helping the Mexicans invade the American Southwest. How seriously was that taken at the time? Because I just can't take it seriously at all. What are we talking about? Has anybody ever looked at a map and seen where Germany is?
I think it was very helpful for American propaganda. It was really stupid that the Germans sent that telegram and then admitted that it was bona fide. The German government was doing, you know, I'm totally down on Wilson for dragging the U.S. into the war, for lying the U.S. into the war, for being an utter demagogue on it. The German government was doing a lot of stupid things, and the German government had become a lot more heavy-handed as the war went on. And it was, there wasn't that much moral difference between some of the governments at the start of the war, but with each passing year, I think all the governments involved became more authoritarian. So it's been a long time since I've read about the Zimmerman telegram. I'm cold on that subject, so I would be making comments that were more ignorant than usual for me.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean,
to
know that, yeah, exactly. We're at like number 4 or 5 of these. No, it's okay. It's because I read your article a week ago, so now I'm kind of winging it.
Oh, Well, look, I never would have guessed, Scott. Scott, this is the first time for you.
Well, yeah, I should have reread it this morning. Sorry. I was in a hurry. Well, I was talking to Ted Carpenter.
Okay. Ted's a good fella.
He is. That's my excuse. It was a Ted Carpenter conversation. Got in the way. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, well, it's enough to know that the Germans were promising to help Mexico invade California and Arizona. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? You know,
well,
Germany couldn't even
just
get here. But then I was going to ask you a good question, which is, well, but what about German harassment of American shipping and that kind of thing? You and I are looking at this in hindsight and saying, boy, what a stupid, dumb war that we shouldn't have got in. But maybe the Germans, man, they picked this fight. They're messing with our ships. They sank the Lusitania. They're lucky we didn't declare war 2 years before. How about that?
Well, you know, there was an impression given that President Wilson tried to make people think that the U.S. was staying out of the war. It wasn't. It was massively supplying, weapons and money and other things to Britain, to France, to other allies. It was trying to keep them in the war. It had totally trampled any type of neutral standing. There was a German blockade of Britain, which the U.S. refused to recognize. Britain also had a blockade on Germany, which the U.S. basically accepted. So, and there were a lot of comments that Wilson made. He talked about how submarines were basically like a war. This horrible new weapon that were a violation of human rights or some such, didn't really make any sense. But it's interesting just to, going back many centuries, if there is a war and there's a blockade, then folks realize that if they violate the blockade to send arms to the, to one of the combatants, that they're, hey, y'all are getting in the damn war. It would have been the same in 1863 if France had tried to ship a vast number of advanced carbines to the Confederacy at the time that President Lincoln had a blockade on the South. Something like that would have been considered an act of war by Lincoln.
Right.
So President Wilson would, just try to pretend that it didn't count, because the U.S. was not formally in the war. But, for all practical purposes, it was doing everything it could to support the British.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing here, right, is even with hindsight being as good as it is and seeing all the consequences that flowed from this and how, oh, boy, you shouldn't have done that, even if we are, taking too much of advantage of our perspective of history, hey, that's okay, because what's really important is the lesson about how dangerous things can get. And in fact, in that previous conversation with Ted Carpenter, we were talking about how you could get in a really, really bad war accidentally. And you could have no one, not in D.C., not in Pyongyang or Beijing, want to have a war in North Korea. But you could have one anyway because government programs like defense and intelligence departments and for that matter, the diplomatic corps of these governments, they could really screw up and miscalculate and cause the deaths of tens of millions of people. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
It has happened before.
Yep. That's a very good point. And take a step back to Germany. It was idiotic and profoundly unwise that the Germans, greatly increased their submarine warfare against shipping to Britain shortly before Wilson called for the declaration of war. If the Germans had not done that, it would have been far more difficult for Wilson to pull the nation into the war. So,
right.
German government was, I'm looking for a euphemism, but I can't think of anything that would be proper for a family-friendly radio show.
They were reckless and irresponsible with their military power.
Reckless and irresponsible, and that's putting it mildly.
Hmm. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.
But so back to the counterfactual again.
and okay. I know this is more Jim Powell's book than your article, but still it's in your article too, is, and the real point about how even with the war raging in Europe, American intervention was unnecessary, did not have to happen. Wilson, he could have laughed off the Zimmerman telegram just like I am now. He could have kept us out of war. His Secretary of State resigned rather than get on board the bandwagon over it. So that goes to show, right? Just like Powell, you know, went along anyway, but Warren Bush not to do Iraq. It just goes to show he didn't have to do it. If even Powell said he didn't have to do it, William Jennings Bryan said, you don't have to do this. But then, and look, the fluke of the Soviet Union, the fluke of Nazi Germany, that's all of World War II, 60 million deaths. Then after that, the rise of communism in China, another 40 or 50 million. And then, you know, Vietnam and Pol Pot, Korea, and America's genocidal wars, dare I say, in those countries. Well, not in Cambodia, but obviously in Korea and Vietnam, and then leading to the Cambodian genocide as well. These just horrible, for that matter, support for the Afghan Mujahideen and the coup in Iran. That was an anti-Soviet move in 53, in a sense, part of a Cold War chessboard move there. And then repercussions on, none of this had to be this way. And it doesn't mean that, hell, we might have had some other nuclear war. I don't know, Jim. Things could have been entirely different in a worse way. But it just seems like it's so obvious to see the chain of events from this unnecessary intervention and declaration, just like in 2003 with George Bush, setting off a brush fire that just can't be contained.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd blame all those subsequent wars in the First World War. I think some of them might have happened anyhow. And it's hard to know what kind of idiocy would have risen to the top in Russia. You know, certainly the chaos of the First World War and the great losses Russia had opened the door to far more extreme elements. But no, I mean, you know, it was First World War was a Pandora's box. Even if not all those bad things came out of it.
Yeah, well, they did. No.
All right. Well.
Okay.
You,
no.
You know,
that's
hey,
just me.
Hey, it's your show. You can.
Listen,
you can,
I don't mean to
want.
Deny the agency of all the other individuals making horrible decisions there,
sure,
and everything,
sure.
But I'm just saying, no Soviet Union, no world communism, right? I mean, you can't have Mao without having Lenin and Stalin first. Wrong? Am I wrong about that?
I think you're right. I mean, I haven't. You know, I'm kind of weak on the Chinese history. That
yeah,
period.
Me too. I admit it. It just seems like, yeah, I don't know. And again, we might have all died in 1950-something in an H-bomb war anyway in some other timeline, you know, I don't know. But it just seems like pretty hard to beat World War II for the world's worst consequences of intervening in World War I, even if you just stop your chain of events right there.
Yeah, okay, sure. I mean, that's, you know, there were dominoes that fell in from 1914 to 1919. And once the Versailles Treaty was signed, those dominoes kept falling. And President Wilson seemed to think that with his moral rhetoric that he could change world history and change humanity. But his moral arrogance was just